you. But I wanna know for sure. Come on, hold me tight.
Of the Trogs? Remember the Trogs? Did they go on to better and greater things after Wild Thing? I wonder. I don't know. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I was not a member of the Trogs or the Frogs or the Grogs. But along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we're here. We're a team, kind of like Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, Martin and Lewis. Who else was a great team? Olson and Johnson. What was that team that did that show back in the late 60s? I can't think of their names. Anyway, thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, September the 21st. This is the first day of fall. And I'm sure, Ed, you noticed how much cooler it is here in Florida.
Only if we turn the air conditioning down.
Correct. Anyway, it is the first day of fall. We thank you for being with us. Well, in a few minutes, we'll be talking with Neville Kramer. He is an immigration and security expert. He's a former patrol official near Del Rio, Texas. Would you believe it? He knows a lot about the Haitian crisis there. We're gonna talk with him about what is going on. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. It is. Even the Biden administration is now ducking for cover, knowing how bad it is. So we're going to talk with Neville Kramer about it.
I have one question for Neville I can't wait to ask.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You want to save that and surprise me, or you want to tell me?
He's listening, too, so he'd probably think about it. I want to know how a bunch of dirt poor people got 2,000 miles from Haiti to Texas. How? 2,000 miles away in a body of water.
Ed.
Are they good swimmers?
They had, Ed, listen, use your head. They had a huge diving board. It was the biggest diving board you've ever seen. And it had a huge spring attached to it, okay? Come on, man. You got to get real with these things. No, that's a good question. That is a good, in fact, I was going to ask him that. I'm going to save that question for you to ask him.
It's amazing how we treat the difference we treat that island. On one side, you got the Dominican Republic, which
yes, you do.
We go to all the resorts, and Haiti, we're like, ew, get away.
I think that would be a wonderful topic. Why is one half of the island doing well and the other half?
I know one side's French. What is the other side?
Poor. Yeah, there's Frenchers. Oh, there's a mixture, you know, of all the, there's African, all the combinations that go on in that island. And I'm not sure. But it is. It's a separate thing. Why didn't all the Haitians go to the Dominican Republic? It's a lot shorter trip. Why did they come to the United States?
Not much of a swim either.
No. Anyway, even the mainstream media now, forced to admit that Joe Biden seems recklessly unprepared for what's going on, for the political events now swirling about him. We're going to get some thoughts on that and more from the proprietor of the Barber Bowl, a very energetic Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later. And we got a real treat. Pryor Smith of Canada Calling. He's going to join us a bit later in the show. Anybody that's been around Florida for a while, you know who Pryor Smith is, and you know Canada Calling. It's a great program. And we're going to talk with Pryor Smith about all things Canadian a little bit later in the show. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, hey, we have an updated U.S. News and World Report, top 10 best colleges in America. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. I cannot find a better barbershop for myself or for any other guy because you have the best haircut that you can get, quality people, and the best price. It's in Dunedin. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And we always got to tip our hat to Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Hey, Paul and Tracy Allen, you got to start your day with Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So we got so much going on, Ed. I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start with the stock market. Did you know the stock market was tanking while all of this other stuff was going on yesterday? The stock market fell about 600 points yesterday. At one point, it was down over 1,000 points. So this is the thing I've been fearing. The combination of the overspending by our government and the inflation that is going on, all coming together, all they need was like a little match, and the match was this China real estate company, okay? That was the match that fell on all of the tinder. So now it's really, I'm wondering how this is going to go. Is this just a fluke? Are we going to be back up? In fact, I have not seen it this morning. Have you looked at the stock market, whether
it's
up or down?
No, I haven't.
Okay, we'll keep our eyes open. We got the TV screen on here. We'll see it in a little bit. But here's a couple of reasons why the stock market isn't doing so well right now. Investors fear a contagion sweeping from that China property market. Big sell-off in Hong Kong during the Asia trading session yesterday. Also, the Fed, the Federal Reserve, they start a two-day meeting today, and investors are worried that they're going to start pulling away monetary stimulus. So remember that the stock market's up and down is based on projection and fear. Okay? What's going to come, and is it bad for you? And that's how that works. Another factor, COVID, the Delta variant, all of that is going on. That does not help the stock market. So we got a lot of things going on right now with the stock market. I think the inflation thing is the scariest. We were talking the other day, Ed, about gasoline prices. They're approaching what, $3.10?
Well, they're over. What are you kidding? Yeah, $3.10.
Yeah, $3.10 or $3.11. Yeah. This is the highest I can remember it being here. Can you remember it ever being higher than that here in Florida ever?
Ever? Oh, of course. Yeah, we were at four something, weren't we at some point? Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yes, we were at four.
Maybe way back.
Yeah,
huh?
We were at four.
Really?
Was it Obama's final?
$4 a gallon?
Yes.
No,
I'm sorry. It was right after George Bush.
Okay.
And into.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
We did four. I want to say 4.25. Is what I want to say.
I was just a little boy then. I wouldn't remember that kind of thing. But anyway, it's a lot, is it not? $3.10.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does it? You've got a big thing out there. How much does it cost for you to fill it?
Well, that's now $60-something.
Holy cow!
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. I mean, even for my little car, you know, my little Nissan Altima, it's like $50.
I tell you, it was 2009 when it hit over $4 a gallon because that's when I bought my scooter.
I don't blame you.
No, and when I bought the scooter.
I see.
So,
got it.
And then prices started to eventually go down.
Yeah,
they leveled off and then they went down.
Well, thank you for correcting me on that. I'm glad you did. But this is a lot of money, folks. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to that Del Rio, Texas bridge where those thousands of Haitians are congregated and huddled. And we're going to be talking with a guy, I can't think of a better guy to talk about it, an immigration and security expert, former Border Patrol guy down there, Neville Kramer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, new story here about, you know how all these people are coming in? Well, amid a crushing wave of migrants rushing into our country from the south, overwhelmed immigration agencies releasing numerous migrants, not just in southern cities, but deep into the interior of the country, places like Chicago, Denver, Minneapolis, New York, Yakima, Washington, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And by the way, they fly them on this iAero Airways, a major government contractor. So there's money involved in this, and they're paying people off to do it as well. We've got a guy, I can't think of a better guy to bring on, Neville Kramer. And Neville, he's got all kinds of things going on. He's a former INS agent. He's an immigration enforcement consultant. He's done border work down there near Del Rio. Neville, I am so depressed about the way things are going on down there. I'm hoping that you're going to be able to give me some hope and some optimism.
Paul, Ed, I have the solution. I think we need the bigger diving board in Haiti.
Yeah. And we'll spring over the United States.
That's it.
And into the Pacific Ocean. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, well, you know, small. If the small one right now goes from Haiti to Mexico. So
yes.
Why don't we get here and we'll be all set.
Did you hear Ed? He's got a question for you. We'll open it with Ed. Ed, ask that question about that very issue.
I was just wondering how a country that has people that are so poor managed to get 2,000 miles to Texas over an open body of water.
Well, Ed, that's a great question. But if you worked in INS, as I did for many years, and processed these people, you'll find out that, first of all, almost every single one of these groups has a support channel in the United States. And they are funding most of the travel. A great deal of the money that's made in the United States is sent out of the country. This is one of the things about illegal immigration nobody ever talks about. Mexican president 20 years ago said that he was getting about $58 to $60 billion a year in remissions from illegal immigrants in the United States. So in the Haitian situation, in the situation with all of Central and South America and Mexico, and probably even in Africa, this travel is all being funded by well-orchestrated groups that gather the money up, and they send it to specific people. They pay the smugglers, and they're brought over here by the tens of thousands.
Right, but also, is it not true that many of these Haitians that we are now seeing congregating in Del Rio were spending about the last 8 to 10 years down in Central America? Even in some cases in South America, they have been living, let's put, as expatriates for a while. So these are not people that just hopped in a boat and rode over to the Texas border. They're actually coming up from the south, through Mexico, are they not?
Yes, some of them. Well, I saw that fellow interviewed, I think it was yesterday, from Chile. He'd been spending 4 years down there. What the problem is that this is just the U.S. government has sent out a message to the world, basically, saying that if you can get to the southwest border, especially the border in Texas, it's ollie in free. Just come on, your chances of getting arrested and deported is very slim. You're going to see the advertisements today and tomorrow, where, not advertisements, but the comments from the Homeland Security saying that they're having mass deportations. It's absolutely nonsense. Okay, the only people that really are going to be deported are single males between probably the ages of 18 and 25. The rest of them are all going to claim that they're married, and the women and the children and their family units, and they're going to be allowed to come into the United States and distributed throughout the country, as you mentioned.
Yeah. In fact, the only thing that I've heard, and I don't know why they even bring it up, but I guess they're just trying to say something positive. They've sent two plane loads of people back or something. It's only 300 people. They got 18,000 people roaming around that bridge. Now, you, Neville, have some actual, what do you want to call it, identity with that area. You were down there for a while, right? Not far from Del Rio?
Yes, absolutely. I was stationed in Eagle Pass, which, by the way, when they closed the International Bridge, they sent all the traffic down to Eagle Pass, about 57 miles south. And I won't mean to plug my book, which is 14 years old, but in the book I have a picture of myself standing there with the U.S.-Mexican border, Rio Grande, behind me. And that's in Quemado, Texas, which is 30 miles south of Del Rio. So that whole area is familiar to me, and it hasn't changed much from the pictures that I've seen.
Yeah. I'll plug your book. It's Immigration Chaos. And has it been 14 years? It's a great book. You can still get it, right, on Amazon somehow?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. Okay. From the Kindle version is available.
Kindle.
I don't know about the paperback. Yeah.
Kindle version, Immigration Chaos. And you can kind of see the form, because I'm sure that, and I know you talked about how all of that developed, so people can go back and kind of look to see how everything, you know, at that point was formulated to, you know, to what we have now, which is a total mess. We got Mayorkas, the Homeland Security guy, finally going down there, and somehow, through all of that, he says that the border is still closed. This guy, we need to stick him in a carnival, put his head through a canvas, and throw tomatoes at him. You know what I'm talking about? What's going on with him?
Well, he was in immigration before. These are political appointees. They have no real experience in what they're dealing with. And they're told, they get talking points from either the Democratic National Committee or even the White House to say this. And Jen Psaki is the same thing. They feed her information to say, and she says it knowing it's not the truth. Mallorca has been around a long enough time that he knows the border's not secure, and to say that is just a bold-faced, outright lie.
Of course.
But there's no accountability, Paul. There's no accountability for any of them.
You would think that there's going to have to be, that they can't just keep people like Mayorkas and other people, you know, standing up and saying these things. I mean, won't the pressure come from Democrats themselves? Hey, you got to get rid of this guy. He's a red flag. He's going to bring the entire party down. I mean, they got to realize that they got to start throwing people overboard, don't they?
No. I worked with them for 26 years there, and I never saw one of them get thrown on.
Yeah,
thrown overboard.
That's very depressing.
Yeah, they just figure they're going to be there for, you know, 4 years or 8 years, and the bureaucrats just do what they have to do, and it's a terrible, terrible situation. And not only that, Paul, but this is just one of many. I mean, you know, look at the stuff that's going on in this country with the inflation that you mentioned and this nonsense that happened at the Capitol building. And
I wanted to talk about that with you as well. Yeah, the Capitol building, which we will do in a second. I want to stay on this thing just for a moment longer. And you mentioned Jen Psaki. And all of this, I mean, remember, these people are not vaccinated. Jen Psaki is the White House press secretary, and she responded to questions yesterday as to why these migrants are not being vaccinated, at the very least, you know, if we're going to be releasing them. And at the same time, we've got all of these Democrats and Biden, you know, wagging their finger at Americans about getting vaccinated. Go get vaccinated. And then they're releasing all of these unvaccinated people. So she was asked why. And here's her answer. As individuals come across the border, they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. Right.
Yeah.
And if they have symptoms, the intention is for them to have the intention. Listen to this, how they word this. The intention is for them to have to be quarantined. Okay. In other words, they're not doing a damn thing about it. And they're releasing people. Yeah. Correct?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's dangerous, very dangerous, because Haiti, there's a lot of problems in Haiti with the health system, et cetera. There is no health system. And we don't know who's coming over. Not only that, but we've got a criminal element involved in all of this. And I can tell you right now, I'll say this to you, and hopefully, you know, 5 to 10 years from today, we'll still be joining each other. And these Haitians and the group coming across right now on the U.S.-Mexico border will not be finished processing. They will never figure out who these people are for the next 5 to 10 years. Even if they legalize them, it's going to take, there's so much manpower involved in processing these people and identifying them and documenting them. This is an incredible thing that we're dealing with, and nobody seems to see anything about
it. Yeah, you're right.
Until they begin invading the inside of the interior of the country.
You know, this is also, I mean, this is such a mess that even Democrats are turning on each other. There is this racial thing going on. Haitians are basically Black Caribbeans, right? And you've got all of these Hispanics, they're the brown people. So I'm watching C-SPAN this morning, and you've got people calling in saying, well, you now you're going, now he's going to send, he being Biden, is going to send back Haitians. You know, and that's racially offensive to me. And he's allowing the brown people, you know, that's where it's going now. So this is a total, I mean, the whole thing is just collapsing.
Absolutely. That's the word.
Yeah.
The entire immigration system is collapsing.
It really is. Let's go to the Capitol, where they'll build a fence around the Capitol building for four people that might come walking by with a sign. But we had a dud of a Capitol demonstration, did we not? They were protesting the shooting of that young woman, that conservative, I don't remember her name again, but she was coming through the door and the Capitol policeman shot her. So we were going to have, I guess these were like Trump supporters that were going to have a Capitol building area demonstration. That fizzled, correct?
Did it ever?
There was nothing.
There were more FBI agents there than there just FBI agents, let alone the Park Police and the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police. I mean, there are more police departments in D.C. than you can't even count them. So, I mean, they were all there. There were more FBI agents. And that's
yes.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation. That's not, you know, the street law enforcement. And they had more of them than they had demonstrators. Probably about five times as many if you count the guys who were sitting up in the trees.
Yes. So what was the point? Now, the media, which side do they take? They can say, oh, look, Trump has no supporters. Or they can say, boy, did the Democrats look stupid on this one. They completely underestimated or overestimated. Their finger in the wind. They don't know what they're doing, you know? I mean, which way do you go with that, right?
whichever way you're right on both. both, except the situation was saying that it's not Trump supporters. Trump's not president anymore.
That's true.
He wouldn't be president for another 3.5 years. I don't know why they keep focusing on this guy. By the way, as a law enforcement aspect, I want to interject something there about the shooting of that girl.
Yes.
The Capitol Police were in my building when I was the director of the training academy down in Georgia. And the Capitol Police were in my building, and I know they went through the same training that all of my officers went through. There's only three times that those officers ever shoot their guns or have the right to shoot their gun. One is in defense of themselves. One is in defense of an innocent third party, and the other one, the third one, is on the firing range. That's the only time you're allowed to use deadly force with your weapon. You tell me which one of those three that girl was presenting to that Capitol Police officer.
There's a fourth one you forgot.
Zero.
There's a fourth one you forgot. Panic. And just firing the gun sort of like at anything that's moving. That's what happened. And yep. I don't know if...
You don't teach that at the academy.
I know. I mean, we shouldn't make light of it. A woman died. So is this guy going to be ever held accountable? It doesn't sound like he will be, the policeman.
He's a hero. With Pelosi, they held him up as a hero.
They did. Yeah, you're right.
I'm sure that...
That's exactly what they did.
Police officer.
Yeah, we're talking with, we have been talking with Neville Kramer, who knows something about what's going on with security, immigration enforcement consultant. He was down there working with Border Patrol people around Del Rio, Texas, years ago. And Neville, it is always a pleasure to have you on. I don't know, I wish that we could come on and not have to talk about something that I think is so painful. But, getting your expertise on it is always a pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Great being with you, Paul. Ed, have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
We will indeed. All right. You know, I think we've had Neville Kramer on probably more than anybody else, but he deserves it. We're going to take our break. When we come back, another guy we have on all the time, he deserves it too, Andrew, the Master Barber.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us on the very first day of fall. Yes, indeed. No longer the summer. I'm looking at the screen here, Ed, and our buddy Joe Biden is addressing the United Nations. He apparently is talking about women's rights. Can you imagine... I don't know. If I was Biden, I think I would have canceled this with all the things that are going on.
I'm sure all those people in the room are really taking him seriously.
Yeah. By the way,
look, plenty of good seats still available.
I was going to say, most of those seats are gone.
No. All these dignitaries, they've all dressed up as empty gray chairs.
They have, and they've done a hell of a job. Great camouflage work. So I wanted to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi, about... how, I don't know, I guess it's unprepared, recklessly unprepared for being president, for all of these political things that are swirling about him. Andrew, do we feel sorry for Biden at all because he doesn't seem to be able to handle this? You know, people must have talked this guy into running for president. They went, Joe, we can't find anybody that anybody else will vote for, but people at least know who you are, no matter how mediocre. You got to run. What do you think, Andrew?
Paul, the people that voted for him have no clue of what's going on. He has no clue of what's going on, and I don't believe he won the election.
Yeah, and a lot of other people don't believe he won the election either, but... fortunately or unfortunately or whatever, he prevailed. So I don't know that he's going to make it. I mean, this is only the first year. This is only the first year. Look at the way things are going right now.
I'm quite sure he's going to mess up today with all the dignitaries there.
Yeah.
They're all sitting there laughing at him, saying, what a fool.
Well, most of them left because there's more empty chairs in that the room.
They're not even wasting their time.
No. He's reading from a teleprompter, so unless he falls off the dais there, he'll be okay.
Paul, it's the country's falling apart in 6 months, buddy.
It's
not getting any better.
Even the media now has to talk about all the goof ups. You know, they have been protecting him, but now we got so many goof ups. We got inflation, it's just terrible right now. It's like 6% from a year ago. We got Afghanistan and killing those 10 innocent people. We've got the Del Rio crisis, which is just one crisis on top of another at the southern border. He won't talk to the press. He won't answer them. He hardly ever holds any kind of a news conference. He just reads from a teleprompter and he exits stage right.
Whose fault is it that he's getting away with all this?
Well, it's ours because, technically it's America's fault for allowing this guy to become president.
It's the media. The media is covering for him, too. The fake news.
Well, that's what I said. The media, but even they are starting to have to realize you can only distract people from what's going on for so long before they go, well, come on now, man. You know?
Okay, Paul, whatever happened to Miley? You ever hear anything about him? No. Do you hear anything about Afghanistan? No. The only thing you're hearing about is the southern border. That's it.
Well, it's the topic of the moment, because look at what's going on under the bridge in Del Rio, Texas.
Well, you know, Paul, this is another thing I was just telling Ed. I says, you know that guy, that Landry guy that's on the run right now?
Oh, are you talking about the kid that's down in the Sarasota Woodlands?
Yeah. Yeah, the girl that got killed.
Yeah, the boyfriend of the girl that he killed. Yeah.
Well, you know what? If he wants to get out of here, you know how easy it is for him right now?
Sneak over
all
to
the... All you got to do is get to the southern border, Paul. There's 20,000 people there.
You're right.
No names, no papers, no nothing. All he's got to do is grow his beard, grow his hair, make himself look like one of them that's traveling. He walk right across to Mexico and never be found.
If he puts on a sombrero and one of those mustaches...
He's got to put on a Biden T-shirt.
Or, I never thought of that. If he puts on a Biden T-shirt, they won't even care to look at him. They'll just let him right through.
I'm telling you, Paul, you watch and see. That's where they're going to find. If they find him, that's where they're going to find him.
He'll be there, huh? Or maybe under the bridge?
Yeah, although he'd stick. That's what I'm saying. There's 20,000 people there.
He'd stick out under the bridge. They're all Haitian under the bridge.
Yeah,
there are about 20,000 of them.
Yeah, well, I'm quite sure there's more than just Haitians.
Oh, no, there are. There's all kinds of people.
That's what I'm saying. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the country's falling apart. Biden's doing a crappy job. Supposedly Arizona is supposed to bring their what do they call it there?
Well, we're supposed to get the audit completed by the 24th, correct? That's 3 days from now.
24th is supposed to go in front of the Senate, I guess.
Yeah, that's the Arizona Maricopa County audit, which has been going on forever.
That's right. Let's see what happens there. As far as the other Russian collusion case, as far as I'm concerned, that's over with because the statute of limitations was Sunday, so they can say whatever they want.
Well, they've got that attorney that used to represent Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee, Sussman. He was indicted. And they indicted him because the statute of limitations on that thing he was doing was coming up to 5 years. That was the date, so they indicted him.
They indicted him, but you know what you'll hear about it?
Very little.
Exactly, Paul.
Very little.
The media is in control. They're controlling the people. They're covering up for Biden. And they're going to let the country fall apart because of their politics.
You know, another thing that's been lost is this reconciliation bill and also funding the government bill. You know, all of that. It gets a little bit complicated. But the Democrats have turned on each other. They've got Joe Manchin and Sinema in Arizona that are moderates, and they are like a wrench in the spokes of the Democrats' machine rolling along, trying to get trillions of dollars. Manchin said, no, I don't think so. I mean, that's way too much. Let's stop and slow things down and take a look. He's going against Schumer.
You know, I'd like to see what the odds of Manchin caving to them are in Las Vegas, because you know what? When it comes down to the end of it all, he always goes with the Democrat Party.
Generally, he does, but he's pretty stubborn about this. He's pretty stubborn about it. We'll see where it goes. Kristen Sinema is another one, and she tends to, you know, they have to report to their constituency. And in West Virginia, most of those people, even if they're Democrats, are moderates. They're not liberals. You see very few West Virginia liberals. You know, far lefties. So we'll see where that goes.
I don't know, I'm just having a coughing spell.
I know you are, Andrews. I was covering for you. Didn't you notice? Andrews having a little...
I think I got a hairball.
Go ahead and get a glass of water. Let me ask him. I'll talk with Ed until you're ready there. You know,
I think we're all set.
Are you okay?
I think we're all set, yeah.
Okay. I mean... So we got this spending package. It's probably, right now, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to pass anything. So we've got a government that isn't working. Now, I'm not too upset about them not passing the multi-trillion dollar reconciliation or infrastructure bill. I would rather they don't pass it. I would rather have the states take over the infrastructure situation, not worry about, you know what I mean? But
did you even see Trudeau said that How can a country that borrows money give money to other countries?
Well, I agree. And by the way, did you see he got reelected? He got reelected.
Go figure, Paul.
He just got reelected.
Boy, they love to be socialist. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Well, we're going to actually have a guy on a little after you, Pryor Smith, who does a show called Canada Calling. Yep. Great show. He's a Canadian. And I'm going to talk to him a little bit about Trudeau. And you know his father?
Yeah, yeah.
Was Pierre Trudeau. And his father was the Prime Minister of Canada as well. So
they must like the Trudeaus.
The Trudeaus are liked, you know, and especially among the liberal side.
Yeah, so it must be like the Pelosi's because, you know, all the Pelosi's get elected, and look at Newsom.
Yeah, Pelosi and Newsom. Is Newsom the nephew of Nancy Pelosi?
Right.
Gavin Newsom?
Nancy Pelosi's nephew, that's right.
Okay. Talk about nepotism.
You
know he was
going to win that election, buddy.
Talk about nepotism. I still cannot understand how people could not look at the way California is going and reelect and keep him in this case. You know,
Paul. Again, it's like I told you, the stupidity of America is very blatant. It's right in front of you. No question in my mind about it. The American people are stupid.
We're talking with Andrew Ceresi, the Master Barber. By the way, Andrew is a good friend, you don't mind me saying this, of the family of Ron DeSantis, who is the governor of Florida. Ron DeSantis grew up in the Dunedin area, and his father and mom are still living within a stone's throw, I guess, of your barbershop. Is that correct?
That's right. Ron comes by every day. We've known each other 37 years.
Yeah.
People, great family, and the governor's doing a great job, regardless of what they're trying to do to him, you know?
Yeah.
I sit there with the Regeneron and laugh, because here you got the Democrats pushing shots, booster shots, another shot, a booster shot. Meanwhile, Regeneron works.
And we were talking about
people,
go ahead.
The antibodies, okay? And Ron DeSantis set up 25 sites throughout the state where if you get symptoms within the first 10 days, you will get this shot, and boom, it's gone. And you have the antibodies. So why are the Democrats still pushing the shot when the antibodies work?
I do not know enough about the Regeneron, but I do know that there is truth to what you're saying, because the Democratic Party has been trying to, I guess, redistribute this.
They're trying to keep it out of the Republican areas, Paul.
Yeah, and not giving it where it's really needed. They should just allow it to go. Just get their hand out of it. Allow it to flow to where it's needed. Now,
I think they ought to set them up throughout the country, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're curing the people and you're giving them the antibodies. The shot isn't doing nothing, Paul.
I was under the impression that the Regeneron, in particular, is good for people that might already have symptoms. Is that true?
Well, you got to have the symptoms. That's it.
All right. If you're not ill, you're not going to
nothing.
You don't need it.
No.
Correct. Okay.
You tune up your car if you don't need it.
All right. So we're talking about people that may be infected already. All right. That's what.
Right. If they already are infected, they got a fever, they got symptoms.
Yeah.
The first or second day, you got the sniffles, you go get the test. If you got it, you go get the shot. You're cured within 24 hours.
Wow.
Why isn't the whole country doing this? It's all political. Joe wants to stop the people from breathing, Paul. Got blood on his hands from Afghanistan. He's going to have death on his hands with this, Paul.
Wow.
Because it does cure you, and he's not letting it happen. He's trying to take it away.
He's,
and you know what? I hope the Democrats hear me, because you know what? If the Democrats get COVID, they're going to die too. And without Regeneron, they don't stand a shot if they get the. I saw my wife fall. They told her she wasn't going to make it.
How is she?
She pulled it up. She's doing good now. She's at 90% of normal, but she had a hell of a fight, Paul. She's been sick for 6 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
So just so the Democrats know, they can catch it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Shot or no shot, they're going to catch it.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to cure them is Regeneron.
Wow.
And if they live in Florida, guess what? Their Uncle Joe's not going to give it to them.
Well, I tell you, Andrew, we're going to continue to follow this Regeneron because I'm becoming more and more interested in it. Thank you so very much, by the way, for bringing it to our attention. And we are going to talk again, my friend, on Friday.
That's good, Paul. You have a good day,
and the same to you. Thank you. There he goes. There he goes, the master barber himself. He's very big on that whole drug, Regeneron. Hey, we're going to take our break, and hopefully when we come back, Pryor Smith of Canada calling.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, and we are delighted to have somebody I've been listening to, Ed, since I've come down to Florida. Pryor Smith of Canada Calling. And anybody that's been in Florida for a while knows this gentleman from his voice. He has been doing this program for many, many years. And I remember when I first came down, I believe, Pryor, you were on here in Tampa Bay, you were on WGUL, the music of your life station at the time. And I remember, you know, I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba. My parents and I came down when I was a young kid. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Canada. And you provide information to Canadians that are down here, usually during the winter months. What's going on back north, right? Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having us on this morning. First day of autumn.
It is the first day of autumn, and we always have... Now, I'm going to ask you this. We have an issue, Pryor, because of the COVID, with people coming back and forth from Canada, correct? How is that working, and how does that affect your Canada Calling program?
Have you got an hour?
I know. I'm throwing a lot at you, but I still don't know how are people coming back and forth, vacationers, right now?
Oh, boy. What a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess. As you know, last winter season, with COVID in high gear, which was at phase one or phase two, for the first time in 66 years, Canada Calling was not on the air because the vast majority of Canadians were not in Florida. There was an advisory out of the federal government and medical authorities here to stay at home. And aside from the senior snowbirds who will defy anything to go to Florida,
yes.
about 95% of the market stayed at home for the first time in many, many years. Now, what's going to happen this coming winter season? Lord only knows. Yesterday, the White House made an announcement, and if you can figure this one out, boy, you're better than me. What they basically did was they opened up air travel from practically any spot in the world, Brazil, Germany, France, you name a country anywhere, China, you name a country anywhere in the world, and the White House announced that they were going to open up the skies to people who are double vaccinated and who have had a COVID test within 72 hours of departure, and as of next month, they'll be able to fly into the States. But the land border crossings at both the Mexico border and at the Canadian border remain closed for the foreseeable future. Now, if you can figure that one out, you're a lot better than me.
Yeah, and that's another thing. This is such a total, I don't know, it's become a kaleidoscope of trouble. But we've got, for instance, we forget about the Canadian border, and we've never had an issue because Canadians don't necessarily want to come down and live in the United States, I guess. in the southern border, we've got all of this trouble going on all of the time. So,
well, I can under I can understand I can understand concerns about the Mexican border, because Canada Calling, the radio show, has aired every winter, not only in Florida, but it also airs in South Texas, because a lot of Canadians from Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, head straight south to the Rio Grande Valley. And so I'm intimately familiar with that, and I can understand why the border situation there is in such a mess as it is.
Yeah.
But the Canadian border? My goodness.
I know.
Who's kidding who? Like, what is going on here?
I don't know.
So what's going on is, you asked about this coming winter season. Normally, about 3 million Canadians head to Florida each winter, give or take a few hundred thousand. And we leave behind somewhere in the range of $6 billion. Billion with a B. Well, if we don't come, that's a major impact on your economy. But for some reason or other, they're insisting, at least the federal government in Washington is insisting, that the land border remain closed for the foreseeable future. That may drag on into the new year, for all we know.
Yeah.
Yet, I can get on a plane in Toronto, at the airport in Toronto, and I can fly into the States, providing I'm double vaccinated. So, can you explain this to me, please?
I cannot. I cannot explain. I'm going to ask you also about the history of Canada Calling. Such a great program, Pryor. You've been doing it for so many years. May I ask when you started doing it?
I started 43 years ago.
Wow.
And I haven't been able to find another job, so I just kind of keep on doing it.
You are amazing. And the whole Canada Calling concept is a wonderful concept. And I know we also should mention, I think, Canada Calling goes into California for all of the people that come down to California. Also to the Caribbean, right?
Yes, down into the Bahamas. Canada Calling started the first week of January in 1954. And it was started by a fellow by the name of Dave Price, who was a household name on the CBC here in Canada, based in Toronto. He and a bunch of buddies went down in the late 40s down to Fort Lauderdale to, quote-unquote, cover Toronto Maple Leaf baseball spring training.
Okay.
That was when the Maple Leafs used to have a team in the International League. And they're sitting on the beach one day, and they couldn't get the results of last night's Stanley Cup hockey game. And so one of the guys turned to Dave and said, "Dave, you're in the radio business. Put a show on down here." Well, the light bulb went on a couple of years later. He launched Canada Calling, and he did it very successfully till the early 70s. I came on the scene actually competing against what was left of his original network in 77. And up until last winter season, I hadn't missed a day in 43 years.
Oh, you're amazing, Pryor. You are amazing.
Don't ask me how I did it.
And I'm going to say something else. Don't blush, but you've got a wonderful voice, and you've got a beautiful Canadian accent, which, being a Canadian originally, I can certainly see. You're very easy to listen to, and there's a, I don't know, whenever I listen to you, you always made me feel better about what was going on. Really, I'm serious. You have a positive, optimistic approach to your situation.
Well, I was a very positive guy up until about 11:30 last night. We have just gone through a $600 million election campaign that was totally unnecessary, totally uncalled for, and nobody wanted it except for Justin Trudeau, who, in a phase of egomania, decided he wanted to try and get his majority back, which he didn't get. And after spending $600 million and all this campaigning over the last 4 or 5 weeks, we wound up with exactly the same result that we had going into
it. I was going to ask you, you actually preceded me, I was going to ask you about this election of Justin Trudeau and whether or not it was a little bit of megalomania on his part. He wanted to strike while the iron was hot and call an election with the COVID crisis. So is it basically the same situation as it was?
The Liberals gained a seat or three seats. The Conservatives gained nothing. The New Democrats, I think, gained one. It was an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
Because, the problem is we have a fractured parliament. We've got, four or five parties, including one which is a separatist party, if you can figure that one out. And he looked at the polls in late June, in July, and he thought, ha-ha, I've got them where I want them. And so he calls this snap election 2 years before he had to. Well, and what happened? Everything went south.
Yeah. So does this make him, you know, typically from what I know, and I don't know enough like you do, but the eastern half of Canada is somewhat liberal because, you know, Toronto and Montreal and Ottawa and this and that. And then when you go west, because of the oil reserves and everything else, they become a lot more conservative. And everybody out there is more conservative. Is that pretty much the way it is in Canada?
Well,
I know that's a broad brush stroke, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it really is. The Atlantic region traditionally has voted liberal. Now, you got to understand this. It drives me nuts, all this crazy terminology about liberals and conservatives. They're all opportunists. They're all opportunists just trying to get elected.
Yes.
And so the Atlantic region has usually gone liberal. The major centers around, like Toronto's got dozens and dozens of ridings. If you can win the Toronto region, you win the entire country.
Ah.
And other major centers in southern Ontario as well. Once you get to the west, yes, it's more conservative across Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta. British Columbia is a little bit of a hodgepodge with the NDP, with the New Democratic Party. But we went through $600 million, just like we went through $600 million 2 years ago. So we're at $1.2 billion right now. And there'll be another election probably within 2 years.
That's
Go
what
figure.
I would, yeah. So I guess I don't understand totally the rules. But can the majority party call for a vote at any time, or are there certain restrictions on that?
Well, see, or the liberals, the liberals being in power with a minority, have had to depend on somebody else getting into bed with them every time they want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And very conveniently, in order to remain afloat, the New Democratic Party has done just that. And so there was really no reason to call the election that we just finished going through, because every time Trudeau wanted to do anything, the New Democratic Party said, oh, fine, go ahead and do it. So he was handing out millions and billions of taxpayers' money to everybody that had their hand out. And surprise, surprise, he winds up winning another election, but he doesn't get his majority. And that means he has to operate with a minority for the next, or for the foreseeable future, until we go through all this again.
Who's the leader of the Conservative Party?
A fellow by the name of Aaron O'Toole, who came on the scene, I'm going to say, what, a year and a half ago. He succeeded Andrew Scheer, who, like Mr. Scheer, Mr. O'Toole last night won the popular vote across the country. But due to all the seat configurations across the country, he wound up losing the election overall.
It has just been a real pleasure to talk with you, Pryor. I wish we had a little more time. We're running out of it. I want to have you back on down the road. And we got so much to talk about. Thank you for being with us.
Well, I'd like to be back again this winter season. Lord knows if the tourist season will happen. And if the tourist season happens, we'll be back.
Great.
And if it doesn't, I guess I'll fade into obscurity.
Never. We'll have you back, my friend. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, Freedom Works, my friends, we'll do our top 10 on Friday. Stay tuned for Patsy with a Z, Joy on Paper, after the news.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
We can do this. It's within our power and capacity.
President Biden's wrapped up a can-do address to the United Nations General Assembly in New York.
We are fixing our eyes on devoting our resources to the challenges that hold the keys to our collective future. Ending this pandemic, addressing the climate crisis, managing the shifts in global power dynamics.
He vowed